The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 252. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
We are back, and I am back.
Yeah, yay. Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
A very annoyed Brett Murdoch.
We have not even started the show, and I am already angry.
It's already throwing down,
yeah,
man.
He's already throwing down, man.
Is that why you turn green, man?
Excuse me? Mr. Adam Vale.
Jews for Jesus.
You know?
That's all you had to do, Brett. All you had to do. The Jew card always works. Every time someone calls me that word, and I say, well, what about my people? They shut up. They're like, oh, well, I get you. Well, all right, whatever.
Yeah, and of course, Mr. Brian Majoma.
According to Brett, it's very easy for anyone to start drawing.
Man. Yo, by the way, yeah, shout out. Yo, Carlos, Big Mike is in the chat. He wants to know if you're good.
Yo, man, I'm good. Hold on. Wait, Mike. Yeah, I'm good. Man.
Don't even answer.
Oh, we're going to call him out.
Don't even do it. No, Carlos, because remember, don't even do it.
Yo, Mike, you good?
Man. Anyway, we're back a day late and a dollar short, and we got a lot of questions, so no filler. Let's get into it. Johnny W. Uppercut starts us off with, what games from E3, Gamescom, or any other shows you find to be interesting that was... Okay, I didn't edit this shit. He wants to know, what game that was revealed at one of these shows did you find interesting but was never released? And he says, examples are Wild on PS, PlayStation 3, and The Last Night on Xbox E3. Okay, so what games that... Carlos, just say it already. Say it.
2012's Game of the Year. I think it was 2012 or one of those years. Agent, man.
Agent. There you
go. That fucking poster just fucking screamed Game of the Year.
You know, that logo.
That logo was too much. It was hot fire, man.
What was the name of that other game? It's like 8 Days or something?
8 Days.
Yeah, that's another one.
That's the one with a car, right? Like that, like a car and
yeah,
shooting and stuff.
Yeah, yo, I got the obvious one.
Oh,
yo, uh-oh. Oh man.
Oh, I got. Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a platinum game. It's a platinum game.
Yes,
and it has to do with fucking dragons or whatever the hell that shit is. Skillbound.
yes, it is. Yo, Skillbound. Man. Come on.
Were you really excited for that though?
I wanted to buy. It's yeah, man.
When I saw it, I'm like, this don't look that good.
It's platinum.
So shocked when they canceled the shit. I'm sure Uncle Phil went there and said, "Yo, you making hot garbage for us? Well, you know, this is what we got for you. So you know, like, get the fuck out."
And that's when Hideki Kamiya says, "You're still making that that Crackdown game, right? That looks like hot garbage."
They already paid for that shit. You cut your losses when you're able to cut the losses.
At least we still have Deep Down.
Yeah. All right, so what other games did you guys see that never actually got released?
Yo, man. And then he blocked Uncle Phil, by the way.
Oh, shit.
You know, okay. He did, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, whoever couldn't stop sending the checks, he probably couldn't afford his Twitter, so.
Yo.
Yo, Chris, go ahead.
I was going to say, what happened to Star Wars 1313, man? All hurts. We got is hot trash. We got loot boxes and hot garbage.
Oh.
That's that right. Hurts. I call Battlefront 2 hot garbage.
It is. You know, let's just be honest now.
Yeah. Mine is StarCraft Ghost now.
Oh, yeah, man.
Ghost. Ooh. I was hyped for that. And then they were like, poof, ghost this shit. God. What?
This shit is a ghost.
StarCraft Ghosted.
That's it. Gone. Don't you have money for days? Yeah, but not for this shit. Next.
Well, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you remember how they had their huge standards, like, you know, we don't release bad games or games that are mediocre. And no, then you don't release any new games.
What happened, Brett?
I said, no, you just don't release games. I was agreeing with Mandy.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
They don't release any games now. Yeah.
What other games do we have that were never released but announced?
They keep saying. Oh, they keep saying that Star Citizen's coming out, but they're a fucking liar.
We got a question about that later too.
Star who? What's that? I don't know. No, what you're talking about.
They could keep getting crowdsourced. They don't actually need to sell anything.
They don't.
They gotta at least release Star Resident or something, man.
Holy shit! It started in 2011.
Wow. Yeah. Dude, they just sell that crowdfunding, man.
That's it. They don't need to release the game. They're making too much money off of it, you know.
How come nobody's destroyed them? Like, you know how, like, you know, everybody's losing their mind over friggin'
because Master Race.
Yeah.
It's Master Race Ammunition.
Oh, okay.
It's a game that proves PC superiority that's never actually going to come out, but it's still Ammunition in there.
Well, because, like, people lost their mind over Mighty No. 9, and Mighty No. 9 didn't nearly get as funded as that game did. And at least they came out with a game.
It's an awesome idea. It's just clearly never going to happen.
Yeah, we'll get to Star Citizen in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll talk to this later. We'll talk about this later.
Let's just get to the next question because it's about Star Citizen. Is there any other game you guys can remember turning out to be a big scam like Star Citizen? I think Star Citizen may be the biggest one, man.
Some of the things made by Peter Molyneux, those are kind of scammy.
Whoa. Oh, dude, No Man's Sky is a scam.
It took a year later
for them to give the game that everybody thought they were getting.
Yeah. Oh, it's been more than a year.
Yeah, it's been
That's a scam.
Yeah, though. No, we could. I'm going to list it as a scam.
Ark was a very enjoyable scam.
Oh shit.
DayZ shit. I have a long list of games. What about the pirate game that's based on Ark?
Oh god.
The pirate game based on Ark.
I don't think I've ever.
Oh, Atlas?
Do early access games count as scams? Does an early access game count as a scam if it's clearly never actually going to be a game?
Sure.
Well, yeah, you count it Star Citizen, right?
Yeah.
That shit isn't even out. I don't even know what kind of access that shit is.
I don't even think that's a broken version that's out, but like, a lot of my favorite PC games never actually ended up being made into full games, which makes me sad.
Vaporware!
Like, the crazy thing about Star Citizen, though, is that they released, like, hour-long, like, gameplay and update videos, like, every so often, and it's like, it just makes people think, oh, it is coming. But man, they've been doing this for fucking years. Fucking more, what, almost a decade now?
It's crazy. Yeah, it's insane, man. All right, Brett, keep going. You say you had a long list of these games.
Oh, Space Engineers, Ark, DayZ.
Isn't Space Engineers out?
I don't think it actually ever got a full finished release with multiplayer.
Jeez.
PC guys. Kerbal Space Program.
Kerbal Space Program is one of the great ones. Space Engineers is a completely different game. It was really cool. It had real-life collision detection, and like you could essentially build giant ships kind of like Minecraft, except it didn't have the blocky look. You actually had to design the engines of the systems that ran in, so you had to run like power conduits and things like that. And then you could fight other players for resources or asteroids. So if somebody like actually blasted out the fuel line to your back left thruster would stop working. And you would have to run in and repair it with resources. It was a really cool premise for a game. But then the net coding was always so incredibly sloppy that like you'd have two ships that were flying and then a lag spike and they would both be occupying the same space at the same time and like both of them would explode. So like randomly exploding spaceships was kind of a random thing. Sometimes you'd even collide with another version of yourself that the game thought was on the server because it kind of blipped two places at once. So, like, sometimes you'd just be flying along and randomly explode. So the game was, like, unplayable. It was playable for short periods of time until you got sick of exploding, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to wait for this to get released and fixed. And waited years and years and years and years and years and just never did, man. The only thing I conclude is it must be insanely difficult, and somebody here with programming experience, please enlighten me. It must be insanely difficult to program a moving customized object in relation to another moving customized object in an always online world. And I understand like it's probably rubber banding issues or anything like that, but like I can't like don't. If you are able to build something in a game, it is always stationary. and it renders in very much slower than the rest of the landscape. So I imagine they were just set out to do an impossible task, but I'm still mad. Still mad about it.
Those bastards. All right, any other games you guys want to name? Rip-offs?
Street Fighter 5.
Oh, but that did come out, though. But,
yeah, but in chunks, it didn't give us
You know what I'm going to do? Yeah, because the beginning was bullshit.
Everything was like, pay this, pay that, give us, you know.
It didn't come with Bitcoin and shit. Yeah, it didn't come with a fucking, what's that mode called where you can see your
friend
playing? Arcade.
Fun.
Yeah, they didn't have arcade mode.
No. Yeah, where like you can join the lobby with your friends that you're about to play, and you can see them actually play.
Spectator mode.
Spectator mode. That's it. That's what it is. Yeah. Street Fighter 4 had that shit.
Yeah.
That's some bullshit. All right, let's move on. Black Metal Gamer. Okay, what improvements would you like to see in Gears of War 6 with the open world hub areas as well as RPG mechanics? Adam, this one's for you, man.
What would I want to see in it?
Yeah, in Gears of War 6. Yeah, like what would you want to see in terms of the open world and the RPG portions?
Nothing really, because I go in there just to chainsaw bitches, so I don't really care about all that other stuff. Like, I explored it, I'm like, all right, this is cool and stuff, but I mean, if they want to get more in depth, then just go, you have to go all RPG then. If you're going to have the open world like that, we're going to have shops, because it has shops and things like that, then might as well go full blown, like Division. You know, have different vendors, get gear, equip the gear, but then that expands the world far beyond what we see now. You know, right now it's like a handful of weapons, and you know, you don't change your gear out. So they would have to do a revamp, complete revamp, into a new direction. And it's like the open world is all right. Some parts of it reminds me of God of War, the latest one, where you're on the little canoe boat and how you can navigate around. There's some of that goes on. So
I don't want this to be open world.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't need it.
Give me the roadie run, man.
It'll be a different. The roadie run will be there forever for life. I hope that's in the RTS version too.
Last thing I want from my Gears game is to have more expansive content for you to explore, so I can have to wait for Adam to fucking explore every nook and cranny of this map.
That's what you gotta do. That's what you gotta do when you go down the stairs. What do? Do you go straight or do you look under the stairs?
I go straight.
No, man. Look under the stairs. So always look under the stairs. There's always some goodies, ammo, health, weapons, all random shit, collectibles. Always.
That's not even a Gears rule. That's just a general video game.
Not for Carlos. Carlos fucking almost rage quit on me bitching about that. Yo, come over. Let's go this way. No, there's stuff over here.
It's not a Youngblood thing. It's Uh-oh. We were street. So here's the thing. We're streaming a game, right? And we're trying to get to the next part of the story. So I go directly to the checkpoint or like the objective part, you know, like where it's like, okay, go here to talk to this guy so you can go to the next level. So I go, I'm running, I'm going. It's like, and I get there, and then I'm just chilling for like half an hour in the stream because Adam is looking at going to every freaking room and getting all the collectibles.
That's it. You could have came over with me because there was also conversations there. There was one guy talking about how he cheats on his girl. There was another woman that had a drinking problem. She's telling me her story. You know, I'm telling you, there's all these people.
I remember you told me that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, yo, come over here so you can hear it. And this is stuff that people would want to see because they may not think that this is part of the game because that type of stuff was not in the other Gears games. It was entertaining stuff.
Yeah, man. People play Gears for the chainsawing and the boom shotting, man. They don't.
That's why we're showing them something different. That's all.
Yo, man. Status quo with this game, man.
Oh. All right. Oh boy. Okay. Do you want Death Stranding to be a standalone game or do you want it to be a franchise game with sequels?
I want it to be a good game.
Oh. Oh no!
Hit them in the cojones. Yeah. Just be good.
Yeah, Manny, you're moving your mouth, but we can't hear you.
To be honest, I don't really. I'd much rather have it just be a standalone game. Fuck the sequel bullshit. Just, you know, one and done. Next game, he does something else.
That would be interesting.
How many games do you know that really do that? That was just like, okay, that's just the only one. Play that. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, the idea of this game is to save the friggin' world, right? So obviously, you probably saved the world in some fashion in it. What's the sequel?
Yeah, you got to resave it.
Up again?
Spoilers.
Yeah, you got to resave it.
You got to resave the world. Yeah, you know.
You know what? I'm going to go along with you. Let's get a one and done game. Let's get like five different games from Kojima. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'd much rather have five different games than the same game kind of reimagined each time.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but I don't need that. I'd much rather have them make new games.
Yeah.
Well, there's also what the game is.
Hmm? Go ahead, Brett.
I said there's also the kind of game is. It's horror-ish exploration game. Like, the idea of the narrative is to pull back the veil of the world to slowly, you know, let you know the story. Those kinds of narratives don't generally do super well with a follow-up. You can build into a follow-up pretty well, but there's always a slow point. If it's for the same reason that, like, kind of Stranger Things hit a little bit of a lull after the first season. Like, the second season was good, but it took a little while for them to kind of, like, swing in a new element. And I'm not spoiling it for any Stranger Things fans out there who haven't, for some reason, watched it. But once you kind of pull back the veil on something supernatural and have your big ta-da moment, I think it's done.
Yeah, you already lose the trick, right?
Yeah, and I think that a lot of this game is built around the intrigue of what is this world, who are these people, what are these systems, like what is going on, and when you find out what's going on, you're like, oh, okay, cool. And then like it, so since so much of it is pulling the veil back on the world, and you would inevitably have to put a sequel in the same world, like I just don't think that world games are that interesting. I mean, fuck, I'll even criticize some of my favorite games. That's the reason Dark Souls 2 had a problem. It's like, okay, like how do I take the same thing and then just do it again? I have to put it in a new world. And then the third game was just fan service. They never really actually figured out a great answer to that. So I think, you know, it'd be like a sequel to Senua. It just would be, I already know this stuff. You've already pulled the party trick. It's not as interesting the second time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, like another game that I don't think needs a sequel. Senua does not need a sequel for any reason, because it's just like it said what it needed to say. And I feel like there is a magic to just being a one and done.
That's that's exactly why Bioshock 2 wasn't good.
That's a good point.
That didn't need a sequel.
Yep. That was one of the classic examples of games that didn't need a sequel.
And not to mention the original guy who did that game, the original Bioshock, wasn't even working on it. So it's somebody trying to do him.
Yeah, the only way they even might, I don't want to say they solved the problem, but their solution to the problem was to create a whole new world to unveil. Like, they didn't even have an answer to that. You know, like, that shot is spent. So now we have to make a new world and kind of explain that world to you.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. G-Megaforce 123, what's with all the Kojima hate? Seems like people have a hate boner for Kojima, even though they're massive Metal Gear Solid fans. What gives? Just for some context, so over the weekend, Hideo Kojima put up a tweet, which I'm going to read right now. He said, a Hideo Kojima game means a declaration of me doing concept, produce, original story, script setting, game design, casting, dealing, directing, difficulty, adjustments, promoting, visual design, editing, supervising the merch. People got mad at him. Like, oh, how come he's taking all the credit for everything? You know, why isn't he crediting other people? And Manny, you know, you were kind of ranting about this before the show.
Well, there's, so let's
explain what's going on here. By the way, go ahead.
Oh, the number one also is there was a slight translation error in that in that post that he made, number one. Number two, in general, how many Japanese creators have you ever heard talk about any of their team? Name one. They don't talk about their teams. The only people that you see is the guy at From. You see Hideki Kamiya. You see the guy who made Silent Hill. You only see those guys. You never hear about them talk about their teams. And that's an inherent thing between Japanese culture in general. Many people who work in these sorts of things don't want to be known. They want to remain anonymous. So they see their head guy as their vector. In other words, they know they're obviously within their own studio, they know that they're appreciated because obviously their boss tells them behind closed doors, but they don't look to look for that sort of sort of recognition in public. In other words, they're not looking for Kojima to go and say, go make a tweet about them and, about them on his feed.
Is that entirely true, though? Because I feel like I've heard Nintendo at least refer to, we've worked very hard on this game.
Number one, no. They're only...
Nintendo doesn't do that.
Nintendo, okay. Other than Inuma, how many other people have you heard about Zelda? Having to do with the Zelda game. Before even Inuma was even known as the main director of the game, who was sitting at the top of that? It wasn't him. It was Miyamoto. Everybody thought Miyamoto was making those games, even though this guy was the director.
But Miyamoto never came out and said, I do everything, I'm the star.
He was the face of it. Yeah,
he was the face of it. And I think that's the way this stuff goes. Now the thing is, again, this quote is also a translation error on Kojima's part. It's not he does everything. It's more it was a different phrasing, and I forgot what the phrasing what it should have been. So it's a problem on his side. But he didn't fully. The thing about Japanese is it's not solid terms. It's not a solid term like I did everything. Like it's a little bit light. It's a lot lighter than that.
By the way, here's what's interesting, right? When you read the Japanese version of it, it's completely fucking different.
Read the Japanese one.
The November 8th release is approaching. This is my first new work in 4 years and my first independent work. Thanks to Sony, the cast, the artists, the musicians, all the faithful staff and the fans who have supported the renewal above all. Thanks. That's night and day.
That's not the same. Yeah. That's also isn't not it? The same tweet.
You think he may have done a retraction for the Western people?
No.
Yeah, because Manny, I agree with you. Like, I'm thinking like Harada. He's always the guy in front of Tekken, right? Ono, he was always the front guy in front of Street Fighter.
Yeah, like you never see those guys.
The face of the people.
Yeah, it doesn't
up the game. It's like Corey Balrog with God of War 2 and Dad of War. Like they're just the face of it because everyone just sees them as like the point of contact.
Yeah, but you never play yourself.
Like, he named the damn studio after himself. He put his freaking name on the front of it saying, hey, it is a Hideo Kojima game. It's not a game made by Kojima Productions, which is even worse, I'd say. But I think it's the thing that people have the problem with is that his name is just everywhere and he's not crediting his team and saying that this is like a team effort. Like we did this.
But it's obvious that it's a team effort. Does he really need to say it? Yeah, it's obvious that he did.
Eye-centric. It's a Hideo Kojima game made by Kojima Productions. His name is plastered everywhere.
Yeah, as it should be.
He wants to take credit for everything.
Well, dude, that's the problem.
He wants to take credit for everything.
I don't think he wants to.
I don't get that feeling at all from that.
His name plastered everywhere.
Yeah, like, I get it.
That's what
it's his company. Of course, his name would be plastered everywhere, bro.
No, it doesn't have to be that way.
Hold on.
It's like very eye-centric. It's like, oh, it's a Hideo Kojima game.
Again,
it's his company. What else is he going to name it?
We're also talking...
There's plenty of people that have their own company and don't name it after themselves.
So okay, what's wrong with that? People.
Is my mic muted?
No, it's not, Brett. I've been hearing you.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're just
listen,
ignoring you, Brett.
Yeah.
I realize that. You're doing a very British thing. There's a difference between other people attributing your name to something and you constantly flashing your own name around.
Okay, what do you mean by constantly flashing your own name around? Because I'm not seeing that.
So Blazinski is an asshole because he runs around with a fucking chainsaw gun being like, I'm Cliff Blazinski! Everybody check me! I'm Cliff Blazinski!
Is he an asshole?
How is that making him an asshole? That's what he's supposed to be doing.
It just comes
like that.
Across as douche.
Okay, I guess
intrinsically wrong with it, and I don't mean that like they're a bad person. It just comes across as douche. Like,
to some people.
Miyamoto was in charge of things, but he never came out and was like, I'm in charge of everything. I'm responsible for this and this and this and this and this. And even if it was a mistranslation, to say that you're involved even in every aspect and every facet of the video game does take ownership. It seems like a narcissistic quote.
Right, again, seems. The
captain of the ship.
Also have to understand that Japanese also doesn't work that way either. He officially didn't say I and all that sort of stuff. If the translation is flawed in that direction because of the way.
But that's what I'm saying. Even if it's flawed, and even if he didn't say I did all these things, even if it was something as simple as I was involved in all these things.
I don't
see what's wrong with that though.
What he's establishing is that what makes a Hideo Kojima game, and he's like, even games that he's produced, he doesn't consider those Hideo Kojima games. It means that he's involved in the process of the game, and I think that's what he was trying to get across, as opposed to I do everything.
No, and I get that, and I still feel like that's a narcissistic comment.
Okay, I guess we can't agree on that.
He never said in that thing, "Oh my woman."
You know, "Oh my woman." Yeah, I don't see a problem with what he said, but I understand why people would say that, but I don't see it that way. I'm like, okay, it's his fucking company. Of course,
I feel like also people are just blowing this silliness out of
proportion. Well, of course, there's a lot of Kojima haters too out there.
Because all of a sudden this silliness just starts flaring up.
It's not new. Tyler Perry gets this heat all the time.
People hate on him.
He was on a talk show one time, and I think it was a Conan O'Brien. He was like, "So, what's with you naming your movies always Tyler Perry?" But he's like, "What? So Walt Disney? He was the only guy allowed to do it?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I guess so. I guess yeah, it was a Disney film. Yeah, exactly. So why can't I do it?"
Exactly. Nothing wrong with that. So, you know?
But he doesn't say he does everything. It's his business. But you know, he's got a lot of other.
The thing is that I don't think he was saying I do everything. I think he was just saying
that's how people took it.
They can take it how they're gonna take it. You know.
What he does in the process of making these games. The thing is that I definitely think that he was just establishing that the stuff that he does and what portions of it are what makes it a Hideo Kojima game.
Brett, say that again.
He brought subjects up individually, which meant his intention was to state a connection between himself and all of these facets, even in the most innocuous fashion. Even though Masanaka's interpretation of that would be, I oversaw or I was involved in all of these facets of the production. And even saying that, like, this is how you can tell a Kojima game because I've touched every part of it, it still sounds like shameless self-promotion. It still sounds like unnecessary ego. And that's the reason that people are a little miffed. It just sounds bad.
Yeah, no, I get that. I still think there's...
But even in the good way, like, you guys keep saying, like, oh, it's a mistranslation. Even if it were translated correctly, it still sounds bad.
Yeah, my take is, like, even if it sounds bad, it's his fucking company. He's allowed to do shit like that, so I don't see the problem.
He is allowed to do that, but he is beholden to the consumer. So when the consumer...
Let's just be honest. It's been the gaming journalists complaining. The consumers haven't really cared. It's like, yeah, it's Kojima, really. Let's fucking go.
Oh, no, dude. No. The Kojima hate is a grassroots thing. There's a lot of people who are not thrilled about this because it's big name dropping. It's changing the way that people are playing video games. Like,
how? Japanese guys have been doing shit like that forever. Like, it's that, you know, like, they don't credit their team. It's always been like that.
Because there's... Kojima is one of the first big-name video game celebrities, and he's putting recognizable characters in. Like, he's changing the development style of video games. He's pushing it to more of a Hollywood-esque thing, and some people don't like the fact that he's
doing Hollywood. What are you talking about? Cliffy B shit like that decade before? What are you talking about?
We're talking about this even with Call of Duty. Remember?
Yeah, but Cliffy B, he did that shit way before Kojima did, you know? Like the rockstarification of the game developer.
I don't think anybody has done as much self-promotion as Kojima in the history of gaming. Not even Peter Molyneux. Because Peter Molyneux will talk about the great aspirations that he does, but he doesn't charge up the hill yelling, "Kojima, Kojima, Kojima, Kojima!"
Yeah, waving
around
know.
A Kojima
yeah.
flag.
No, the man
is incredibly talented, and he has a brand to sell. I'm not dismissing that. But the fact that he self-promotes as much as he does, some people find distasteful and abrasive.
Okay,
that's all I'm saying.
No, Brett, I've understood you. I just think it's being silly. Anyway, Carlos,
also,
go ahead.
How about the thing about Brett? Like, also the thing about it is like, you know, at one point his name was totally removed from a bunch of his games. You know, I mean, to be honest, do you think that this might be a part of it?
Oh no!
Because his name was removed from these things.
Yeah, but I also realized that a lot of his audience doesn't know, remember, or care about that shit, and that's his own business.
They don't remember or care about that shit. Are you nuts?
They don't remember or care how his name.
Are you nuts? Yeah, they don't remember or care about this thing. This was over the whole Konami. This was over the whole Konami thing, and you don't think people fucking don't remember that shit, buddy?
He didn't have his name removed from.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah,
everybody knew.
They removed it from the game.
Everybody
knew that he was in charge.
Brett, you're not understanding. The name of the game literally was Hideo Kojima's Metal Gear Solid 5. They removed his name.
That's what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
You say just because somebody knows, like, we all know Miyazaki's in charge of Dark Souls. It's not Miyazaki's Dark Souls.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, the thing
Kojima is the only one who does that shit. He got told not to do it, and now
he didn't get told. They just took his name off.
No, they took his name off.
Yeah, they didn't tell him. Yeah.
But why did he do? I didn't know why was.
Because Konami was petty, man. Hideo Kojima.
No. I thought they just removed his name from the credits. His name was actually going to be on the front of the box.
Yeah.
His name has been on the front of the box for previous ones too.
Yeah. Take that shit off. Take that shit off. Then no, fuck that. Yeah. He doesn't own Konami, so fuck it. No. Take it off. I do too. If I was Konami, I'd take that shit off.
So I think
you work for me. You work for me.
Yeah, even though it was Konami,
people just totally forgot it. It's like it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Yeah, no. Even though Konami was the one that was promoting him front and center until they got mad at him, you know.
I'm pretty sure that people have forgotten by now.
Everybody's got bird memory about that.
People don't forget. Only the Kojima super fans care.
People forget
so badly that every single release from Konami gets some angry bullshit tweet after it on top of it.
Yeah, people haven't forgotten, man.
People haven't forgotten about that.
Yeah, but that's every game.
I'm talking about people as like the general consensus. Yeah. Like people, as in everyone, they have mostly forgotten about it. Yes, there are the few people that have not.
You're making it like it's a few people. Every single time something happens, they're saying like fuck this guy, fuck this. So number one, I don't think anybody's ever forgotten about this. Dude. I do think that this whole situation is a portion of him reclaiming that his name. Right?
Most people are mad because they think that Konami didn't let him make PT. They didn't even understand it in the first place, much less forget it.
Most people are mad about PT?
Yeah, they're still mad.
Most people think the breakup between Konami and... Most people think that the breakup was over PT and the fact that they wouldn't let him make PT. He wanted to make PT, he put out the thing. No, that's what most people think, though.
Yeah, that's what they think. Like, yeah, that's
people,
not true.
Most
yeah.
people don't even know why they're mad at Konami in the first place. And you're sitting here telling me that most people remember why they're mad? They didn't even remember at the time that it happened. They didn't know why they were mad. They just knew Kojima good, Konami bad. And they just went with it, and they blamed Konami for the lack of there ever being a PT, and that's where the bad blood comes from. Most people don't even remember any of this name bullshit, so no.
No, I definitely think people do remember that. How many of you guys in the audience remember that?
I don't.
With the Metal Gear Solid 5 stuff? How do you forget that shit? I was like, public. That was super public.
We covered it on the show
plenty of times, you know?
Yeah. Bird memory.
Come on, guys! Anyway. Don't forget shit.
The thing is, I don't see a problem with
the guys in the chat said they remember.
Yeah, but you know, Glorious Horror. You scared. You know.
I think if you're a fan of something, you'll remember.
I think if it's just a Chris Brown situation.
Chris Brown. Oh,
sketch, man, you crazy. Anyway, we gotta move on, man. We still got a bunch of questions. Good time.
Yo, y'all crazy, man.
You guys are nuts in the chat right now, man. Glorious Horror, thanks for the bits, man. But we're already done with this topic. You crazy.
He's like, I want to get in this.
All right. Brian, of course.
As well? No. I do remember it, yeah. But I have one of those memories, and Tony knows why, because in the chat, I'll just be like, just remembering stuff from like years ago.
Yes.
Yeah,
Brian Cycle woman like that, man. He just remembers shit.
Well, no, it's not that.
Last thing, Brendan.
It's
we
not that
move
you
on.
Don't remember. It's that you just could like. It's a lot of it. Like, look, it's as simple, at least in my memory, as look. Konami came down and we were restricting Kojima's access to be able to do what he wanted to do. They were limiting his creativity and they were being a pain in his dick. And finally, it became too much and there was a split between them. And then Konami decided to be a dick about it. Like, not everybody remembers the minute details. They just can't remember the overarching thing.
I agree with you that Joe Blow doesn't remember that shit. I agree with you, but the hardcore guys like us, they remember. They remember.
Yeah, I mean, the audience that is going to be buying this game, they know about that stuff.
Do you think it's going to be the same Metal Gear audience that buys this game?
I think it's going to be
a lot of it.
And also, let's just be honest, a lot of curious people too, you know.
Yeah, curious people about the name Kojima. Yeah, exactly. Because he throws it around like candy at a fucking parade.
Yeah, and again, I don't see anything wrong with that, man. Do what you got to do, you know?
I mean, you know, yeah.
Let's say shameless self-promotion.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, man.
But it offends other people.
Okay, well, too fucking bad, you know?
I have one sentence to say before we end this.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
I think everything is, a lot of it is overblown, like you guys are saying, but mm-hmm. I do think that Kojima has one of the biggest egos in the gaming industry. That's all I'll say. All
right, Ben.
I'm just saying it's interesting that you say that, even though you, like, it's interesting that you say that, but you don't actually, nobody actually knows him.
It's, well, we know his,
he's just talking about, he's just talking about public perception.
It's just interesting, this perception, like, I mean, if
it's the perception that he gives off, though.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't see.
But he tweets like this.
Yeah, exactly. He tweets like that. All the celebrities that he's
following. I follow two of his Twitter accounts.
He's following them, going on different only tours two. With different actors and stuff. I mean, he's into Hollywood. With
different actors? Like, who's this?
Yeah, there was a whole thing about him and Keanu Reeves, and he was going on to movie sets for John Wick.
People be hate because you're hanging out with actors? He wasn't. All right. Oh, he hangs out with Mads Mikkelsen, man. Fuck him. You know, all right, come on, guys, let's move on. We still got a bunch of shit. Even though the next question is about Death Stranding. All right. Okay, this is kind of interesting. Will the Death Stranding protagonist Norman Reedus be as cool as Solid Snake? As much humongous effort as Kojima seems to be putting into this new protagonist, it seems there is no way he or anyone else could be a cool Solid Snake. Yeah, Norman Reedus ain't matching up to Solid Snake.
No,
Solid Snake is
gonna...
a legend, man. Get that toy up there, man.
You no one even it? Talks about him for Sutherland. Shit. Give him a pass,
there,
right?
There you go.
You can't mess with the legend right there, man.
I don't think he's trying to make him as cool as Solid Snake. You'll never be able to. You'll never be able to get it that way.
So. I think he's more like an everyman.
Yeah,
like he's more relatable than Solid Snake. You're having a power fantasy with Solid Snake. With Norman Reedus, you're like feel bad. Like, oh shit, look at his toes.
Look at this loser.
Look, man, his feet are bleeding.
Yeah, so I don't think we have anything more to add to that. No, he won't be as cool as Solid Snake.
No, it's impossible. He'll be as cool as Norman Reedus can be.
Yeah, I mean, the coolest Norman Reedus has ever been was Daryl from the Daryl?
Yeah,
Daryl and Daryl Boondock Saints.
Boondock Saints.
Boondock Saints also, and both of those characters aren't as cool as Solid Snake. So I doubt this one will.
Yeah. So I don't think he will be.
Yeah. All right, GZDR. With GZDR, man, we know we love you, man. You've been a fan of Thornton forever. Two questions, brother. Come on now. Thankfully, one of the questions you asked, we already answered before. He wanted to know what we eat when we play games. We answered that years ago, you know. Now, his first question, I feel like we have been asked this. He said, rather than asking if you guys would pay $700 for the next-gen console, what would it take for the what would the next-gen consoles have to have in order to justify $700 price?
Nothing. It's just video games. Not worth it.
Yeah,
$700.
It's interesting. Argue with that, honestly.
Yeah, I can't argue with that either. That's too much fucking money to pay for a console.
That's too much. We like old shit. We'll just go in our back catalog and keep playing until they drop the price.
That's a CDI price back.
You can go back and finish Gears 5.
Gears 5, shit. Gears 6, all the other ones.
I would say, I'd probably just wait around until, I mean, that's pretty much what I did with a 3DO. Me and Adam didn't buy that shit right away. We waited for that thing to drop down
a little bit. Definitely did, because nobody fucking knew what a 3DO was.
Exactly. What was it? We bought that shit in the $300 range, right?
Yeah.
And we got the old one, the Panasonic one.
Yeah, we got the Panasonic.
So do we all agree no console's worth that price?
No. Yeah, for that money, just go get yourself a real fucking PC. That brings up that whole argument.
It's Have fun getting a PC for $700, Adam. Try that. Hmm? Yeah, you what? Try. Go build a PC.
Forget about building. Just go buy a Dell that has a decent video card, one of the best, and you can go and play some games.
Oh, yeah, okay, you can buy that for...
Well, I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The video card...
Yeah, that was sarcasm. No.
No?
No.
No.
The whole cryptocurrency thing didn't drive up the price of...
Well, that did.
Their market price, and they're still above average?
It did for sure, and I didn't believe NVIDIA when they were saying they were going to crack down on it, because I'm like, you guys are making stupid money off of... Yeah. People processing crypto right now. You ain't gonna fix that shit. It's still going on.
Yeah, you can't build a PC in a rival like the.
Bro, you're cutting out, bro.
Oh, you're cutting out, Brett. Are you outside with a crickets?
Sorry. Yeah, I am. Most likely, the big game companies will be able to use their buying power to get a better price for video cards. Be able to keep the consumer the only reason to keep the console prices even relatively. I don't think you'll be able to build. I think this is the first generation where you're not going to be able to build an equivalent PC for the price of a game console, but I would probably lob that question over to Brian. Who's going to leave me hanging?
I don't know about prices these days, because I've been out of the loop for like a year and a bit now, but I would think so. Like, if you just throw on like a couple hundred more, then I think you'll be fine.
I mean, for $7.99, you can buy an Alienware.
Alienware
suck. Yeah, well, but it's still
like it doesn't. It doesn't matter if it's if you think it sucks. It's just more. It's like you can buy a decent. It's a decent PC. It's not the greatest.
Not since Dell bought them,
and you'll be able to play the games.
You'll be able to play all the games.
It's a Dell.
Yeah, it's a Dell. Who gives a shit? Does it play fucking games? Yes.
PC it's got a video card that supports nobody gives a shit on the market. That's it.
Yeah.
Other PC players will. Make fun of you for playing on
the yeah, well, whatever. They don't know what the fuck you got.
No one gives a shit. No one cares.
Nobody gives a shit what you got. Yeah, what are you pulling a Kojima? Are you like, I got a driver card or driver
PC.
You advertise your shit all over the place?
Do you not know gamers? Right, if I came to you...
Brian definitely doesn't give a shit. Get ready.
Brian, you don't go advertising what memory cards of random people on you playing online with, are you? Do you?
No, I'm too busy playing online.
Exactly.
No, that's what I'm saying. Brian, if I came to you, I'm like, hey, Brian, I just bought an Alienware PC. It's super dope.
As long as you like it, yeah, that's fine.
There you go.
Hey, there you go.
Like, can you play games on it? Yep. Do you like it? Yep.
Yeah.
What the hell do you... Do you need me for?
Not right. And you're not going to
need Brian's
like,
approval.
You're not going to come back and be like you just dropped. I'm sorry. I've talked forums and I've played with people on games. And they're like, I'm running this. Yeah, I'm running an Alienware. Then you just wasted $400.
I'm going to be annoyed that you didn't like ask me like, hey, I'm thinking of buying an Alienware, and then I would have told you like maybe not the best choice, but hey, you know.
And then you're also thinking about the person's budget. So if they say, listen, I have $700, I could go blow it on this one console, or maybe I can get a computer where I could do some other shit besides gaming, like, you know, homework and other work-related things, and maybe learn a trade. You know, I could do a lot more. Should I just
get you can do a lot on a booty PC.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
I'll still pay for the console.
All right, that's you.
Yeah, Brett, don't worry, man. If you tell me you got a $700 PC, I'll make fun of you. So there you go.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. I would have a hard time not throwing shade. You got a $700 game.
This guy come from the guy's like, yeah, I built a PC for less than blah, 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 blah.
That's why I know $700. You're like, I built a gaming PC.
That's the price of a graphics card, man.
Yeah, not even. The high-end graphic card is more than $700.
Yeah, that is true.
Almost $1,000 to $1,200.
You can buy a decent PC that'll play games pretty well for $700.
Yeah, you can.
And you can get way more out of it than you can get with a game console that doesn't come with any games and probably only will have one controller.
Well, I mean, the only issue with the whole Alienware thing is if you're buying a $700 Alienware, then you know that shit is overpriced by fucking $200.
Oh, yeah,
so
it's probably
more like a $500 regular
PC.
And there's the conversation that I was always going to say is it pop up. Thank you for proving my point.
All right, let's move on, man.
Pooped your point?
Yeah. GZDR, his next question. What advice do you have for dust management when it comes to keeping your gaming collection clean and presentable? Besides using a feather duster, do you have your games locked in a glass case? Do you keep the room at a certain temperature? Do you have wood floors as opposed to carpet, etc.? Interesting question.
Sell the shit, go digital. Fuck that. I got fed up with all of that.
For real, all my shit was something dirty. Called digital dust.
It was old, dirty, and nasty. And it didn't matter how many times I dusted and cleaned it. It looked so bad after a while. They had like a film, and I was like, fuck this shit.
That's because you cooked that greasy ass food, Nick.
Yeah.
See, he knows that's a damn lie because he knows I can't cook.
I never cooked.
Hey, Adam knows how to make a mean ramen
and salsa water. That was
salsa water.
That's it.
You have a burnt ass grilled cheese.
That's as far as my. I almost made a grilled cheese today. I was telling my wife, I'm like, where's the pan?
Yo, the fucking firemen are coming.
She's probably
after like,
don't
shit.
Touch. She's probably like, don't touch that. I'll do it.
My daughter said that the other day. I was like, you want something to eat? I'll make you a grilled cheese. She's like, does mommy know you're touching the stove? She said that shit.
You're crazy.
So, I was like, you're right. Yeah. She doesn't. Let's do something else.
Yeah, so does anybody actually does anybody else actually maintain, do anything special for the game collection?
I mean, I'd probably just keep mine in a shelf, and it just dust it off every so often. It doesn't get too it doesn't get too dusty where I am, and then some of the ones I have in like a storage thing in my closet, and the ones that I'm not currently playing or want to display. I've never really had that much of an issue with dust problems on games, more on figures. That's the tricky part.
That's the big one.
Consoles
are usually just squares, you know.
Yeah, they're just square. Well, you just take some compressed air and go and spray it all off, and you're good.
Yeah that's consoles what I was going to say. Compressed air is a pretty good investment.
Consoles are actually a tough thing to, because you have to have them in a place that has airflow to run them. Mm-hmm. But in order to preserve lack of dust, you have to have a lack of air. So for like things like figs and games and things like that, like the themselves, I recently figured out the magic. You don't know are basically bookshelves that glass that kind of slides out the front and drops down on them, so that it maintains a dust-free environment. I'm a huge fan of curios. It's a lifestyle choice. I've tried to convert several people. Like go to a thrift store, go to a furniture reclaim place. You can buy glass cabinets and curios really cheap, way cheaper than you'd think. Like within like. You know, get on fucking Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or something like that. Really nice glass cabinets, because they're one of those things that people get rid of a lot. People never get rid of fucking bookshelves, though. Like, that's the thing that you're going to have a hard time finding bookshelves for fucking ever.
Well, yeah, because when you move, glass shelves will always fucking break.
Yeah.
Or
crack.
Yeah. But you can find, like, pristine ones for next to nothing. And that's where you keep all your figures.
Fucking you know, I mean, I just use the Detol from fucking.
Yeah, that's what I use.
Yeah.
IKEA.
From IKEA, yeah.
IKEA.
The Detol.
It's a glass case.
It's a glass case. I'm not sure if you can see in my background here, but yeah, that's that thing behind me.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like glass cases, man. For everything but consoles, you have to. But consoles, like they said, you don't have to worry about. Keep your consoles in a different place than you keep your cartridges in your. It's going to cut down on the amount of dust you need to do. And then really, all you have to do is have a can of sprayed air. Like, those consoles are probably not all going to get daily play. So you should clean the console before you sit down to play it to spray out any, you know, accumulated dust, and you're ready to...
So just... I mean, just... Or maybe a nice, you know, if you really, like, especially on the PlayStation, the old-school PlayStation 4, that thing, you know, the shiny side gets kind of scratched up pretty quickly. So, you know, getting a nice, one of those dust cloths, those really really soft ones that you use to clean monitors, use that on there.
Oh yeah, I mean for something like that, I'd almost recommend it, just because you just dust alone will scratch that fucking surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's an impossible chore to even try. I personally wouldn't even try. I've skinned just about all my custom skins made online for like $12, and then you have a PlayStation that looks like nobody else's. If you want to keep it in clean condition, I understand, but. Bro, that glossy finish is gonna get scratched. Ain't no way about it. Even with like a dusting cloth.
I've been able to keep mine pretty nice. But yeah. Then again, my current consoles are a little bit dusty because I haven't played them in a bit.
Uh oh.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah, it does. All right. Moving on here. Dr. Bogoli. I think that may be a new name, so welcome, sir. All right, so his question is, I just replayed Chrono Trigger, and I think it's one of the best RPGs I have ever played. What would a AAA RPG look like if Square Enix would throw their whole development team at a 16-bit art-style RPG? Interesting question.
Dragon Quest?
Yeah, there you go. I think you just answered it. I think that's pretty much the answer. Dragon Quest 11, you know, or
but is it, yeah, before it's not 16-bit though.
No, yeah, it's not, because you know he did say he goes to. Let me just read the whole thing. What would a 16-bit? What would a AAA RPG look like if Square Enix would throw their whole development team, which today probably mainly is used for graphics, at a 16-bit art style game? So I don't know.
A 16-bit art style game. I mean, to be honest, it's like
it would look like a lot of artists out of the.
Yeah, like maybe it would just like a cartoon or something, like a straight up animated thing.
Yeah,
it'd
probably just be more, more have more frames and stuff like that. I mean,
oh wait, Manny, Indivisible.
Yeah, it looked like that.
There you go. It looked like Indivisible. That's an action. I mean, it's like action slash turn based. All hand animated. Not a AAA game though. Here's the thing. I'm kind of seeing this question as like oxymoronic in a way, because like 16-bit it's not AAA anymore, you know? Like a lot of people could do that without a AAA budget. So I don't think you could actually, like, I know what he's trying to get at, but I don't think that could work exactly.
But it's funny because those old games aren't even AAA budget.
No, they're not, but they were AAAA budget back then.
Yeah, you know? they were considered big games, but really those games did not take a lot to make.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The definition of AAA has changed over the years, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think I can kind of answer this, but only halfway.
Go for it.
So if you're talking about taking all the AAA budget of 16-bit style, like you're not going to be able to. There's just not as much work there to be done.
Yeah.
So you're just never going to hit that. Now, if you're talking about just the budget of the game, Divinity is a pretty good example of this. Divinity has a fairly simple art style, but an incredibly robust engine that lets you pretty much do anything. So I imagine you would have a 16-bit game that would really just have, you know, infinite branching storylines, the ability to interact with pretty much anything in the world, and probably destructible environments. Like, it would just be a massive, robust engine with a very simple 16-bit veneer. Like, if you have to put the rest of that budget somewhere, it would be in the game, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's a hard one to... Yeah, because, again, you don't need that much money for a 16-bit game. Even if it's, like, hand-drawn and everything, you don't need that much money, you know?
No, but then you think about things that cost a lot of money. Like, okay, so, for instance, what Mass Effect wanted to do, right? Like, they wanted to have branching storylines that ended in more than just three colors, I'm assuming. But they didn't... Like, you ran into budget problems and stuff like that, because... Who's going to write all that? Who's going to make all of that content that, you know, only 5% of the population is all going to see? So if you're really talking about just dumping excess budget into a game, it'd probably be something like that. You'd probably have, you know, 120 different endings.
Yeah, and then, like, make sure every voice actor is, like, a super Hollywood person, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and everything is voice acted, and you can interact with literally everything.
In the game. Yeah, that's true. And then you have posters plastered over Times Square and shit. There you go. Okay, I think we actually answered the question. All right, cool.
Hey, Brett.
Everything's narrated by Patrick Stewart.
Yes. And Morgan Freeman. They go back and forth.
No, Morgan Freeman narrates your everyday action. There's a cup on the counter that you pick up. You take a long, slow drink of water, and it cools the throat.
Brian, go ahead, man.
Hey, Brett. Guess what game's on Switch now?
What's that? Divinity! Yes, I've heard! I'm super excited!
Oh, that's interesting, Brian, because you know what I thought you were going to say? You know what game's on Switch? Cuphead.
Oh, that too.
Yeah, you know what
Carlos game knows on
Switch? Contra Road Core.
Oh, man, IGN gave that a bad review. You'll hear my thoughts on Contra Road Core later this week. All right, moving on. Yo, Big Mike, you good? You good, Big Mike?
Yo, Mike, you good?
All right, so his question is, what do you think of, let's call it rumor, he says news, rumor of Batman Court of Owls game from Rocksteady, or not Rocksteady, the studio that made Batman Origins. The rumor...
Montreal studio.
WB Montreal,
So the rumor is that WB Montreal is working on a Batman Court of Owls game, and he wants to know what our thoughts are on that.
It's Batman versus the Ninja Turtles. It's from the cartoon that they do, from the movie.
Oh, again, we don't know what's going on here.
It's got to be that because they showed the turtles last year.
I literally only heard about this today.
Oh, wow.
Greg Miller was talking about it. He did it on Kind of Funny Today. And I was like, is that for real? Like, I don't even know.
There was supposedly all these silly hints about Court of Owls.
Yeah, tweets from Scott Snyder and stuff, but whatever. There's nothing confirmed.
Yeah, I don't. Number one.
Are we gonna chuck this up till we don't speculate on rumors?
Yeah, and then the other thing is, I mean, I can't really say that. Well, then again, I never played it, but I wasn't that interested in that. The other game that
they made. Yeah, because isn't Origins the booty one?
Yeah, it was kind of the booty one.
It wasn't bad. I mean, it had problems. Like, definitely when I got it, it was broken when it launched, for sure.
Yeah.
It was shit that was broken. But out of the Arkham games, it is considered the worst.
No, man.
I mean, to be honest,
it wasn't even part of the collection.
Yeah. It wasn't. No, it wasn't because Rocksteady didn't make it.
Yeah, but still, it's still part of the family.
It's still part of the story, yeah.
Yeah, they should have
not really.
It's Origin.
It's called Origins, and it has some of the same characters, but it doesn't really directly connect to any of the other games.
I thought it did.
Not really. Did they mention anything that
because it's a prequel.
Yeah, Rocksteady games, did they ever mention any of the events that happened to those things? Like, does he walk up to some guy, hey, I know you? No, he doesn't. It's a disconnected sequel.
I think it's one of those things where, like, the Rocksteady games don't mention it, but it kind of references some of the Rocksteady games, if you know what I'm saying. Like, exactly. like an OVA, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Where are we? Glorious War in the House, man. All right, so his first question is, was the Epic Games boycott of Borderlands 3 a success? The game we're going to get more into it on the Thursday show. So basically, and the news came out today's Monday, that Borderlands 3 sold 5 million copies, or sold through whatever, the hot, like 70% digital, the fastest selling game for 2K within a 5-day mark. And so that's what's going on there. That's the question Brian was asking. And as a matter of fact, Brian, I'm going to let you start this off. Do you think the boycott was a success, because of the fact that this game did sell a lot?
We don't know. That's the problem. Like, there are no real numbers. Like, all we know is how much is sold in total and what the breakdown was in physical and digital. We don't know anything else. We don't know how many it sold on PC, how many sold on PS4. All we know is that it sold this many numbers, and here's the breakdown, and that's it. They're being very quiet about the exact numbers. They have numbers because they can say, hey, it sold like twice as much or 50% more on PC than Borderlands 2 did. But they have numbers, but they're not telling us. And usually when a company boasts about some numbers, they don't reveal the numbers. Chances are it didn't meet their expectations and the numbers are actually bad.
Or for people,
Microsoft, like... Yeah. They don't release numbers. They just say, hey, this game was good. It's like, yeah, but what's the numbers, though?
Yeah, if this was a boost to the Epic Game Store, don't you think that would have come out and been like, this was a huge
success
for the Epic Store?
Yeah. When you sent that note today, I looked all over for concrete numbers, and I couldn't find it. They had stated.
We can deduce that no physical copies were sold for PC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That we know.
Yeah.
So, like, what was the percentage again?
70% of all titles were sold digitally. This is PS4, Xbox.
Were sold digitally.
Yes.
So, wow, they're down to 30% physical sales.
Yeah, man.
Basically, 1.5 million maximum on PC. If you look at the numbers.
Yeah. Interesting.
Also, what people could do is if they have friends and everybody does on Steam that were saying, yo, I'm not buying this shit, but then go on Epic or something and see if they did buy them. If you don't see them on Steam anymore, then there you go. They went and bought it. They said, fuck it.
See if they're about that life, right, Adam? See if they're about that life.
That's it, exactly. Yeah, see if they're really about it. If you're like, yo, where are you? I'm my grandma. I say, oh, you fucking bullshit.
I seen playing that boy. Traitor.
I see you. I just sent you a friend request. What do you mean? I don't have an Epic. Motherfucker, you just said it. Found your email address. You're in this shit.
I remember, and Adam, you could probably correct me on this one. I think it was for Modern Warfare 2. Some people were complaining about the lack of private servers. Like, oh, they're not going to have it, right? And all the same dudes that were complaining about it day one on Steam, I believe it was, they were all playing the game. The same guys that were going to boycott the game, they were all on it.
People always complain about all kinds of shit. They complained also in the Modern Warfare when they had that the no Russian thing. It's like, I'm not playing this shit. They're taking it too far. And people still playing it. Oh, when you skip it, I know you can skip it. I love this game.
So, yeah, I guess we'll have more on Thursday. But, yeah, we don't know the numbers for PC specifically. The 5 million, they're not lying about that. The game sold 5 million copies. We just don't know the distribution of those 5 million. I'm pretty sure we could say millions were sold on Xbox and PlayStation. You know, PC, we don't know. We don't know.
I passed on it.
Interesting. Adam boycotted it.
Yeah. Because me and Rich, we got some personal issues, which we can't talk about, but there was some fucked up shit with them. Ooh. And so, yeah, I definitely boycott them.
Yeah, go ahead.
All I'm going to say, Tony, is I'm going to ask the guys on the Borderlands 2 Steam page what they think about it.
Oh.
Okay, hold on. I already got to say one thing I'm not happy about. They're already recommending people on consoles to put the game into resolution mode, otherwise it play well.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Or, yeah, the Xbox, I've heard rumors that the Xbox version of the game is not so...
The Pro one also.
The Pro one plays like crap, and apparently it has to do with, let's see, hold on. It's because the 10p, the 1800p image quality plays at an evenly paced 30 frames per second, where performance mode sees the game routinely dipping second down to 40 when fighting in a vehicle. It apparently is suffering pretty big lag issues, and you have to put it in a special mode for it to work right. That's fantastic.
Wow. Modern gaming, people. Modern gaming.
It's broken.
Yeah.
Patch it later.
Patch it later.
You know what I was thinking about when this links to the last question about the dusting in the game? It's like, that's the least of your worries. Half of those games probably don't even work anymore because you have to connect them online to get a damn patch.
Yeah,
and shit.
That's right.
So it's like, while you're worrying about dusting in itself, worry about plugging this shit in and finding out that the server's been turned off. You know, and you can't get the shit to work. So now it's just a fucking box and a disc.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you plug into old school Super Mario Brothers. That shit still works. Ain't that about it?
Works for days.
Yeah. Glorious War, we already talked about the Kojima thing, so we could skip that question. Fonzie in the house. All right, so he goes, I'm wondering what you all think about the French courts allowing Steam players to resell their games.
Ooh, that's hot.
Okay, go ahead, Adam, since I didn't know about this.
Is fire right there, because that's the future. Because if they pass that where you can sell the Steam, then the sky's the limit. We could see that happen in consoles. So that's why it's a big deal right now if this actually gets passed over there. Because then we could see other markets. Because obviously they want to do it. They're like, oh, well, it's digitalism. And of course that means they can tax that shit too. And they can make some extra money on that. You know, they're like, hey, they own it. If everything is going digital, you're messing up our retail markets, right? We're seeing all these stores close and stuff like that. Well, how do we get a cut? How are we're losing money. That's the country using the tax. Well, then let's get it from this shit on the resale on that. So if it gets passed there and other countries jump in, then they can go in all other directions. They could bring that to an Xbox. They could bring that to a PlayStation. Like right now we see over in the UK, guys are fortunate. They can do full refunds on digital games. We don't have that privilege. On our PS4, when we go to accounts and game history purchases, we don't see that nice little button that says, hey, you want your full refund? But they have it. So if that's what's the spread, then that'd be awesome. But I think it's the same situation here. So we'll see what happens. But, man, it's going to be a big one if this gets passed. That'll be great.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. But it's going in that direction. What do you expect? At least, I mean, for these companies, because digital's perfect for them, right? This cuts down the whole resale market, and they have that one-to-one connection with the customers. Everything's gravy. All right, well, the customers sort of get the short end of the stick, because one, you can't cancel a lot of them. You can't cancel your pre-order. So once you do it, and let's say a week later, find a review, preview with this game's going to be booty. You can't cancel this shit. If you do, you lose your money, right? At least here in the States. In UK, no, it's not the case. You know, so the fact that we would have rights, more rights to cancel that, or say we get the booty game and then I don't want it and then you want it. But then the thing is, who controls the pricing? That's where it gets complicated. because then it's like, what if I want to sell it to you for $50? Or what if, well, there's another guy in a marketplace somewhere selling for $5. He don't give a shit. He just wants to get rid of the fucking, you know what I mean? So who controls the resale of it? Is it a one-on-one connection? Like if I just contact you directly, or are they going to create a, are they telling me, hey, you're going to have to create some kind of interface, a marketplace where people can sell. Just like, you know, a marketplace like they had in Diablo 3 for a little bit. Yeah. So how does that whole thing work? But I'm telling you, this is going to be the future, because if we're going digital for everything, then you're going to have to give some kind of, because I mean, I hate when I hear these conversations, because it brought up a lot of conversation. People are like, well, I, you know, I always support developers. I don't buy used. So, but that's the whole, everything is based around that. We buy used cars. We buy used houses. People buy used clothes. It's just the way things are for everything. It's not just gaming. So you can't just say, oh, well, I'm not going to go buy them because I want to support. Like, it's out there. This is just how things work. If you ever bought a used car, you can't say, shit, I wish I would have bought a Toyota and given them that, $20,000-$30,000 direct. You know, no, you don't think that way. You know what? This is the money I have, and this is what I can get. And it's the same shit with the game. You don't have the money for a full game, but you have enough money to get a used copy. You go with that.
Hold on, just quick, Adam. Big Mike says Xbox has the full refund as long as you don't play over 2 hours.
Oh, there you go. They still have that, because I remember it was just in beta for a while. They didn't launch it all the way.
Yeah, I don't know. Big Mike, you just answer that. That's All right, Brett, go ahead with your question.
Isn't this the more fundamental issue of whether or not we own the digital content that we buy? And isn't this a step in the right direction of us not just essentially leasing content on disc, having some claim to it as a product?
Yeah.
Since they're selling it, it has to be owned.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be leased, right?
Yeah.
So this is a huge step in the right direction of the eroding of rights as gamers that we've had for years and years, where, you know, we constantly talk about, we don't even own your game. You just kind of own the disc, but you don't own anything, not even the content on the disc. Like, this is a step in the opposite direction. So even more than, you know, including all the stuff that Adam's talking about, Adam, like, isn't this just a fundamental step in the right direction towards owning our own content the way it used to be?
Yeah, that key is ours to do whatever we want. You know, hell, well, forget about even selling it. What if I just want to give it to one of you guys? I mean, I'm done playing this fucking shit. You want to play this game? Here, let me give this to you. I can't even do that. You know, I should have that right.
Can't you do that on Steam?
No.
You can't give the game?
You can have friends. No, that's, you buy it. You're buying it. I'm not giving you one of my games.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm buying you a game and then giving you the key. But we're saying, and if you could have a friends and family thing, if you're linked, but I'm still the owner of it. You're just playing it whenever I'm not playing it. I'm not giving it to you. You don't have ownership, which you should have that right. I don't see the issue. I mean, besides that, it hurts them because they're like, no, fucking have your buddy go buy it.
Yeah, we on PlayStation, Manny, you can't sell a game that you download.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine if you could.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you could give it away.
Exactly. It was like, you don't play this game anymore. It was like, yo, you got the new Call of Duty? Yeah. What about your old one? You still play that one? Nah. All right. Can I have it? Sure. Why not?
And just transfer it. Transfer
over. That's it. Yeah. And because then I'm sure then it comes into, they're going to have to put kind of limitations. Like, how many times can you do it? You know, I'm sure they'll do something like that if this does get passed. Like, all right, well, you could pass this key around 3 times. Or something.
I think that they should just unlock the doors and allow it to be a free. I mean, essentially, just let it go nuts. Equivalent of GameStop, enterprising people collecting game codes or buying games for people slightly higher price. But here's the thing: that's not necessarily a bad thing all by itself. Like, the GameStop turned out to be terrible, yes, but the idea of buying and selling used games, like, some people put time and effort into that. If they offer price as a good service, actually a pretty good deal, and it gives developers. Yeah, it gives developers an incentive to make games that you want to keep and continue buying, mm-hmm. either by making quality games or by conditional.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a win-win.
I used to hate when EA would argue about the whole resale market. And they were like, yeah, it sucks. So, you know, they hear that our current, let's say our older last year's edition of Madden is a whole row of them. Well, what do you expect? You spit out another sport game every year. You know, why is someone going to hoard all of these shits? They're going to sell it. If there's a Madden 20 coming out, they're going to get rid of 19. If they're
worried about that now, when it's like there's literally like over 25 years worth of that, you know, back from the Sega Genesis Super Nintendo era. Like, how many older game stores have you ever saw that they literally had a whole like wall of Madden games because everybody sold it to get the new one?
Yeah, because I remember it came up whenever they would people take snapshots of, like, you know, GameStop's U section, you would always see at the bottom rows of just EA Sport games, you know, because that's what people were bringing back because they would get the new ones. What do you expect? So you get bitter about it, then don't do that. Then just offer updates. But, okay, $20, you can update your 19, it turns into 20. There you go. Done. They don't do that shit. Looking at everybody for $60 every year for a fucking roster update.
Fuck them. All right, moving on. Okay, with Rockstar launching their own launcher, it seems like game developers are definitely going to replicate this, especially since Borderlands 3 was an, he says, unfortunately huge success on Epic's launcher. We don't know that. We just know 5 billion worldwide. We don't know if it's on Xbox. So anyway, with that, what are your views about this and the inevitability of having to accept multiple launchers for multiple companies?
No table tennis, that's all I'm saying.
Where have you been? Like, Rockstar's had their own launcher. Like, if you bought GTA,
They deployed it recently. They did a whole refresh of it, and they gave away San Andreas free for people that didn't have it already. So it's like a relaunch of it.
Have San Andreas.
Well, there you go. I don't know. Tito and his friends. Who fucking knows? People just don't have it, and they're giving it away for free. And now they're spreading the word. Oh, we got this new launcher out in... But like, there's no table tennis on it, so funny.
You're like, done. No, but I don't want it. What is this launcher on?
PC.
What's
PC?
Up, PC?
My PC?
Like, I don't think that... Again, as far as I know, like, the PC... Well, the people that I talk to that game on PC, they are not really fazed by having multiple launches. It's just a thing that they've come to deal with. Because, again... I don't know where you've been, but multiple launches have been a damn thing for quite some time now. I mean, there's Steam, good old
Origin,
games,
yeah.
Origin, Uplay, BattleNet. Dog. I mean, they've just been a thing for a good couple of years now, and people have just gotten used to it. It's like become like a meme now. Like, which launcher do I need to launch now for this game? Like, yeah, it's now becoming a joke. It is pretty much like a joke. Again, people have come to terms with it because the market seems to want to destroy itself. So let it destroy itself. Like, I'm perfectly fine with it. Like, if people don't want to get along and be nice with each other, then let them all die. Fine. Like, okay, cool. I don't get my game, but I'm not the one that fucked over the system. Like, they fucked themselves over. So let them reap the consequences. What's up?
Tried. It's not your fault. We all tried.
Oh, of course. It's not my fault. Like, again... I try and support the things I think make sense. This is why I buy games on GOG, because GOG is DRM-free. It's a nice guy. I would actually, if I had the chance to, I would buy every single game I own on Steam on GOG. Mm-hmm. No questions asked. Because GOG is amazing. Like, one day I literally downloaded Unreal Tournament on one PC, I put it on a USB stick, put it on several other PCs, and then it just gamed online.
No DRM, man.
Yeah.
Easy, you know?
You own that shit. That's your game.
Yeah, multiple launchers, not a problem. Epic Store is just being dicks about it. That's all. So it's not a Steam Epic Store thing. It's just that Epic Store are just being dicks. Yeah, I think PC guys have just come to terms with it. I'm still waiting for Square to launch their own launcher because I think that they will have one soon enough once they get enough Final Fantasy games. I'm thinking that they may do it with Final Fantasy VII Remake because I think that's a good chance to, like, get people on there if they can.
Well, one of them died. One died last week.
11.
Discord. Remember Discord's game server? That's done. They're not doing it with the game thing.
Well, that's what happens. Like, you don't buy exclusives. You just get put to the wayside. Sucks. Like, even GOG was like... Even GOG was like a point where it was actually about to shut down.
Oh, yeah, they were doing layoffs.
Enough traffic.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then the whole, like, GOG 2.0 thing, like, I'm not in there yet, but I've heard really good things about it. It's basically, it basically is Steam for your launchers. It gets all of your launchers in one place. Like, just launch the game through the launcher.
I was just about to say, I eventually feel like this whole thing's going to be a sick because if you get a whole bunch of launchers, eventually you're going to get a sort of program that compiles all of these launchers and then auto-launches games library, and then that thing's going to have a friends list, and it's going to dominate the PC community, and then people are going to start advertising on it, and it's going to start giving premium preferential treatment, and then the whole fucking cycle's going to start over. Just going to make another Steam.
Yeah. This is why I say that, like, if these companies just want to burn themselves out, then let them burn. Like, seriously, like, if you want to create another launcher simply because you want more money, then you deserve to burn. That's why I will support GOG until the day that GOG dies, because I'm pretty sure that Steam will just keep on kicking through. Then, yeah, I will support GOG. And plus, it's DRAM free, so hence I get the games anyway, so I don't even care. I win.
You're like,
I win.
Yeah, yeah. Uplay won't do the... Again, Tony, like, you remember when we found out that Uplay was a thing? It's like, Uplay is just trash. And then Origin was a thing since Battlefield 4, I think. Or 3 or 4.
I remember when they pulled all their sport games off of Steam.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell's going on here? And I was like, oh, they got their own shit going. I was like, oh.
It's just been a thing, and I think that most of the major publishers will have their own thing at some point, and it'll be a thing for maybe 5 years, unless they get Chinese money like Epic, and then after that, they'll just burn out.
But don't you hate just sitting there being like, well, I guess there goes my second string of friends, because of online friends at least, because like, there's the group of people that you're going to jump with, and there's that other group of people that you're just... It's just going to be too much effort to get all the information, and other information and make track of them.
I'm at a point now where a friend just come and go. You know, I'm at the age where the friends I have now aren't the friends I had like 10 years ago. So hence I've come used to the fact that, hey, friends will come and go, play with whoever you want. Like, I used to have a clan in MAG. Man, that was a freaking amazing. We used to have like enough for like, I think like 16 people, which was like a quarter of the game room, and we just dominate any map that we were on. We used to like run through maps just for the fun of it. We all had headsets. We were coordinating. We had times that we were on and all sorts. You know, like everyone would just join in. Like they'd have their friends that join in as well. And then sometimes we even have like half of the team was just like people that we knew. And then we say, hey, we're in this clan. Okay, cool. Let's help out here. Let's help out there. Like, oh, yeah, these guys need some help. Let's just take, like, the whole squad and help them out. You know, we used to coordinate like mad, and it used to be amazing. And then bit by bit, people stopped playing. People made alt accounts. They didn't tell each other. And then eventually MAG shut down. And then that was it. No more MAG.
That's how you become a game hermit. This is somehow why I'm finding myself playing Black Desert, an MMO, alone. And that's not as sad as it sounds, because I just want to play. Like, I'm. It's cool that there are other players in the world. It's cool that I can jump people and get jumped, but fuck off, I don't want to party with you.
I know the feeling, Brett.
Yeah. All right, I think we have the last question. And it's our boy, Manny, our boy, Johnny the Truth Teller.
Let's set him off. Let's set him off.
All right. By the way, Brian, I love the fact that you were just talking about MAG, considering the question he just threw at us. Do you think Sony will ever make a good multiplayer game, or that they, or will they always just make one and done, sit by yourself, boring movie games? Yeah, MAG was a thing. Go ahead.
Sony had really good multiplayer games. I mean, we can sit here and talk about Gears of War all day, but we all know that SOCOM is where it was.
I knew you were going to say that.
At one point, SOCOM had more players than Xbox Live had members.
What?
Like, SOCOM was big back in like PS2 days. It was phenomenal. And then Sony interfered and did some EA nonsense. And then, as we know, it's gone. To answer your question, I don't think that Sony ever will, because they just make money. Like, with the amount of money that Spider-Man made, God of War made, Horizon Zero Dawn made, it won't. Like, they just won't now. Like, this is how companies work. We've seen time and time again. If they sell stuff, if that stuff makes money, they make more of it.
Yeah.
And so I'll get Last of Us 2. Yeah. I don't think that Last of Us 2 should even exist, because to me, the story ends there and it's fine.
Yeah.
Yes, made more money. God of War. Creator story should have ended at God of War 3. But no, they wanted to make more money. So they did. Like, this is what happens. Stuff that makes money,
gets made,
molds it, and that's it.
So, yeah, listen, Beard Man and Son. By the way, here's my question. We're only counting like purely more online games because dudes are still playing and praising The Last of Us 2 multiplayer. That trash ass shit. People are still playing it. Uncharted 4 is still getting play. I'm like, even though it's not good either, but it's still getting play. So we're not counting those, right? Like multiplayer that's tacked on. We're not counting those. Just to clarify.
Tony's going to play some multiplayer, so.
Yeah.
Hold on. I want to try for a mic drop. Tony, you played DC online, right?
Oh, yes, I did. On like three different consoles, actually, yes.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay, so they made a game that's an MMO that Tony enjoyed.
DC Universe Online?
Yeah, I'm just saying, a company that can make an MMO that Tony enjoys at least has the ability to make a good one.
Yeah, I think
Tony hates MMOs.
I don't really hate MMOs, I just don't care for them, you know? But I cared about DC Universe Online because it's got superheroes. As a matter of fact, Brett, the first MMO I ever played was called this game called City of Heroes. That was kind of cool.
Dude, City of Heroes. Like, dude, I want another DC Universe Online.
Yeah, I want DC. They got that on Switch. Even though I do not recommend playing that shit on Switch. Online is fucking horrible.
Yeah, well, and those games don't age well. Like, after a while, they have a shelf life. After about 5 years, they have a hardcore veterans that have done everything. And a barren wasteland of nobody else. So, but after 5 years, you should have made your money back.
Yeah, exactly.
Make a sequel. Yeah. Like, I don't know why they don't do that more.
So I guess we're trying to say Sony can make like a big dedicated like online game. They just choose not to.
Shown the ability, not all at once in every game, but they've shown each facet of what they would need to build one. They just haven't ever put it all together. So they could probably pull it off. But it would be a huge undertaking and it'd be risky. And they probably need multiple tries. I don't think if they're like, hey, they're making a big Sony game, we should all get fucking excited.
Hold on, wasn't DC Universe part of like Sony's online division, which they eventually closed, but for a while they did have a bunch of like online games. So
yeah, so is
they
EVE did. Online?
And, yeah, yeah. They did. EverQuest, they did, though. Yeah. But the point is, they don't currently have it. You know, that's the thing. And I think Brian's right. It's like they're focusing on the big AAA single-player games. But again, as we've proven right now, they have the ability. They have all the pieces in place to make an MMO, you know, or a big online experience. They just don't, you know, because they have their focus on other shit.
I think that shit's going to roll back around and bite them in the ass. I think I have watched enough, and God, this makes me feel old, young players play like Fortnite and whatnot to realize that it's not so much the game as a digital lobby and meeting room so that people can hang out together without having to actually go visit each other.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't most people play Fortnite on PS4?
Yeah, but like, okay, have you ever watched a group play Fortnite on PS4?
No, because I don't fuck with Fortnite.
Exactly. Yeah. Most of the time, it's a younger crowd.
And yeah,
the reason that is because the younger crowd has this kind of dead time. They don't have the ability to drive somewhere, or they don't have the funds to go somewhere. Like right between 15 and 19, you have a lot of spare time, much more than you do when you're an adult, right? And so you end up, like, just like when we were all, you know, 16 to 19, like, you go and you hang out with your friends. But nowadays, you do it digitally. And so you just kind of all arbitrarily pick a game and jump in voice chat, and that's your way. Like, the way we, at least, I don't know about you, the way I used to hang out when I was 16, I used to hang out in a basement and play Halo.
This I mean, whatever happened to couch co-op?
That's what this is. This is the new version of that. You just all join in a voice lobby and play the same game. It's not the same experience, but it is what sits in that slot now. There's nothing that replicates that experience.
Xbox Live was created because they wanted to do the couch co-op. They were like, how can we bring that back? Like, let's make a system. Let's do it.
I don't honestly know that those days are ever coming back. I think Switch is trying, but it's going to be different. Like, and it's just one of those, like, you know, saying that your teenage years are never coming back. It's just not going to necessarily happen again. But my point is, the market is that there are a lot of people that just kind of jump in and play a game in order to digitally hang out with each other. And so I think the idea of MMOs are going to roll back around because you're essentially giving people a digital playground to fuck around in. That's why people keep coming back to Fortnite, because it's low interest, low impact. Like, when people play Fortnite, the general point is they're either doing it competitively, or the focus isn't on the game, it's on the conversation. or they're doing something else in the background and they're watching a YouTube video as well. Like it's half paying attention to entertainment, and it's something that people do with friends. So I see a huge social aspect of video games kind of reemerging, and they're trying to do couch co-op. I pray that it happens. I just haven't seen as much of it as I'd like.
Yeah, Big Mike says the new Battletoads has a couch co-op, but we got to see about that new Battletoads, though. You know what I'm saying? That's still up in the air. And Glorious
Wars. Did he get that tattoo?
He got the tattoo. Yeah.
Oh shit. Glorious Wars says The Last of Us Part 2 is gonna have bomb ass multiplayer, and GT Sport is Sony's biggest multiplayer game. Oh, there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Cool.
So again, we were saying, Sony has pieces in place. They just haven't put it all together yet, you know? But maybe they will. Who knows? Yeah, I think that's it, people. So, Manny, do we need to announce anything?
Ooh, no.
Go ahead, question. Brian. Yeah.
And this mostly pertains to everyone else that doesn't think that Epic Games Store is all that bad. I had this idea, or this weird thought the other day. What if Death Stranding comes to PC, or is an Epic Games Store exclusive?
Then I'll play Then I'll play the Epic Games Store version of it. That's it. I go where the game is, bro.
It's not like, how would you feel as in like, would you buy it? I mean, like, how would you feel in like, do you think that people will like break down, or do you think that all the haters will like hate it more or something? Like, how do you think that the whole discussion will be about it, the game, then? Like it less? Like,
no, people will hate it for sure. Anything that's on the Epic Game Store as exclusive gets insane amounts of hate. Hate is going to come. Any game, it doesn't matter what it is. I think this game called Oogles or something, I forgot what the fuck it is. It starts with two O's, weird name. Every game, no matter how minor it is, will get hate. And a game as high profile as Death Stranding will get insane amounts of hate. Now, whether without that would hurt its sales, that's a question I can't answer, but the hate will be there. The game's getting hate already just by being a PS4 exclusive, and you know, people like PS4, but they hate the Epic Game Store, so the hate would be insane, you know. But speaking for myself, I'll get that shit on the Epic Game Store day one, you know.
Okay, no, I just had like that weird thought because I'm like, I'm sure that Death Stranding's come to PC. I'm like, and then I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll buy it on PC anyway. And I was thinking, well, what if it comes to Epic Game Store? Would I still buy it then? I'm like, it's a good question, Brian.
You're having an existential crisis trying to figure that one out, man.
How would you go?
That's a good question, Brian. Talking about the third person, man. Well, who are you, Kojima?
Kojima
says.
Yeah. All right, Manny, do we need to announce anything?
No, I mean, other than the fact we were in Seattle for the launch of Contra Road Corps, you covering it, and I actually being part of the the interview part of it.
Well, we'll say that for the Thursday show. Again, this is a show for the people, you know. But I do have an announcement to make.
What you doing?
Okay, for whoever, and I'm talking to you guys right here in the panel too. For whoever one of you guys or that's available tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be doing a live stream reaction of Sony's State of Play. They're going to have The Last of Us 2 and a bunch of other shit. So for the fans, be on the lookout for that. And for you guys on a panel, whoever could join us, please join us. It'll be a lot of fun.
Sounds really good.
We may rope in Mr. Robert Workman, who we are hanging out with this weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
You know, should be fun, man. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. And then, Thursday, we're going to have another show for you. Manny and I will tell you more about our Seattle experience. Tell you about Road Corps, because I would have played more hours into it. I don't think I could talk about the game publicly yet, so I got to chill.
No, I mean, to be honest, it's coming out tomorrow, dude.
Wait, so. I just saw IGN talking shit. Out. Yeah, I'm just going to say this quick little review. If you're looking for a classic Contra experience, you're going to hate this game. It is not old school Contra. But if you just want a really over-the-top fun twin-stick shooter, you're going to like the game. So it depends on how you're coming at it from. Because when I put my, this shit is not Contra, but it's kind of fun.
How much is it?
$40.
Yeah, $40, yeah.
So $39.99.
Yeah, am I covering Xbox Insights coming out? Hold on. There's going to be an Inside Xbox tomorrow? Oh, Microsoft, you fucked up.
This is the big. They got a big reveal, though.
You fucked up, Microsoft.
Oh man, this is gonna be big.
They
man.
Got a big reveal. We're making another streaming service.
Also, I have another. I also have another announcement to make. I gotta put myself on the camera here. I finally got it, baby. My Sega Genesis Mini. So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. No,
you're not reviewing that.
I might be. I gotta ask. I may do it.
Man, I still haven't gotten mine.
Oh, did you even order it?
No.
You motherfucker.
You might send it to him.
You know, say to play us at 4 p.m. Xbox is at 6. Do we really care about the Xbox One? Let's just.
I'll watch it,
but I'm not. You know, I'm just being
I'm like,
real.
I'm like, yo, what you got, Xbox? Come on, give me, show me.
Why we gonna do?
Remember, you gotta understand something, Tony. Remember, nobody wants a monopoly. Yeah, always remember that.
Yeah, but not everybody wants to. Yeah.
Adam is 100% right. So Adam should stream the Xbox.
That's right, Adam. There you go.
I won't be there.
Oh well.
But let him put his money with his mouth.
I got kids, man. I'm gonna be doing gymnastics and shit. I gotta move around by then.
What happened, Brett? all right, whatever. Anyway, here's the schedule here for throwing your questions. So, step one, how to ask those questions. Step one, go to join our Discord where it's always lively, man. Step two on Discord, go to throw down your questions section. And step three, submit them questions, man. And keep them to two video game questions. I'm talking to you, GZDR. Two questions, man. You should know better, man. You've been around forever. Who's breathing like that? Oh, damn. It's crazy, man. All right, we're done. Thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a question in the Throwdown Discord server, and we'll answer them on next week's show. And we're back on Sundays, people. Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and the Facebooks at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later. Guess what? Contra Road Car comes out tomorrow or tonight. If you pre-ordered it. But yeah, game of work done. We did some stuff with it. Good stuff. Oh, by the way, it was David Giltinan who gave the bad review to Contra.
Oh, yeah. Fellow ARG podcast guy. Should be interesting. Fellow ARG.
Oh, it wasn't Giltinan. It was, what's his face?
Don't say, don't throw David's name in vain,
man. Not Giltinan. It was Jagano.
Oh, David Jagano, or interesting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
This is
Brett Murdoch.
I'm Brett Murdoch, and thank you.
No, you have to say it again. You cut off at the crucial point. You're Brett Murdoch.
Thank you for joining Brett Murdoch's Throwdown Podcast.
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, God, beautiful. Adam Vamp.
There's no such thing as a blue apple.
You know? Oh, shit. And Mr. Brian Majoma.
Time for me to click my heel three times and head back to
Oh, man. All right, guys. Later. I love it, man. You're calling. All right, man. Later.